We're Kevin and Courtney Gilroy, best friends turned married parents and entrepreneurs who know that health is the first wealth and that while parenthood is the most important job we'll ever have, it's not the only job we'll ever have.
Join us and other health-conscious parents as we grow our empires while growing our families in the healthiest ways possible for both.
Parenthood and entrepreneurship aren't mutually exclusive. We're going to have the conversations that help you prioritize, plan, and profit in your organic family.
This is the Organic Family CEO Podcast.
Hey, organic moms and dads. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I'm here with Kevin today talking about co-sleeping and specifically three myths that come up often around the discussion of it. Now, to clarify, co-sleeping means sharing a room at bedtime with your family. This can look like having a co-sleeper crib saddled up next to the parents' bed. Co-sleeping could look like having a full standalone crib just somewhere in the same room as the parents' bed. You name it. But there are so many hugely valuable health and safety benefits to having a baby in the room with you, especially during the first 2 years of life, like reducing SIDS, having better breastfeeding experience. The list really can go on. Now, there's also bed sharing. Bed sharing is sharing a sleeping surface with your children. Now, we are a bed sharing family, and we consider this sleeping arrangement one of the most productive parts of our parenthood experience by far. But had you asked us at the beginning of starting our family if we'd ever do something like this, we would have laughed in your face and told you you were a few beans short of a burrito. We were the ultimate critics of something like this for three of the very key reasons and turns out myths that we're sharing here with you today. So I think what we can say is what we've learned over time and with our tested personal experience with bed sharing and with other organically minded parenting strategies, it's that staying open-minded to the options has really given us so many opportunities that have translated beyond positively into the rest of our lives, just as human beings. And it's just given us incredible capacity to show up in our entrepreneurial endeavors too. So take a listen here. We're just going to share some of these key myths that have really, thank goodness, gotten us out of the critical seat and into just the most positive perspective related to co-sleeping. So food for thought here. Kev, why don't you just take it away with myth number one?
So let's get into myth number one, that you lose the sex in your marriage. One of the things that I think is a myth in general about sex, not just having losing sex with having co-sleeping involved, is that sex happens at night in your bedroom and it's where it starts and stops. Mm-hmm. However, sex isn't something that just happens because it's nighttime and someone expects it to. It happens over the course of the day. And that can be another topic on a different podcast. But for the sake of co-sleeping and having your children in the room with you, is that most likely if you're having struggles within your sex life, it's probably because of a different issue than sharing a room or sleeping surface with your children. It's just the physical thing that you see that you're able to blame. So think about other areas that you're trying to fight for privacy, or not fight for privacy, but finding privacy. Parenthood challenges us in a ton of ways. You're trying to take a shower, your kid shows up. You're trying to just have a conversation, your kid shows up. Everything is, your privacy is going to be a challenge to the normal things you do in life, and sex is no exception. But however, if there's a will, there's always a way. Get creative. You don't have to have sex in a bed. It can happen in the kitchen. It can happen anywhere. Co-sleeping encourages you to have variety. So that's myth number one. Sex is something that you definitely do not lose when you co-sleep.
So well said. And actually, even if your kids did see you, right? Hey, they're so young that it really isn't going to embed in them the way you probably would ever think, right? But anyways, moving on to myth number two, that your kids turn out weird and clingy. I couldn't disagree more. I actually really attribute both bed sharing and breastfeeding to why our kids are the most independent and confident little people I've honestly ever met. There's just never been a barrier to their ability to reach us in a time of their discomfort or need. For us, our parenting style is never shutting it off at 7 p.m. just because we decide we're done. Parenting is a 24/7 gig to us. And so they're going to have needs that happen after 7 p.m. And to us, the call to action as parents and as leaders and as people who want to rise to that occasion of meeting those needs, we're going to answer after 7 p.m. or whatever that is. And so for us, we just always thought, we don't like being shut out in a room by ourselves. We want our needs answered later at night. And we don't sleep alone as adults because we don't want to. So why would our kids want to? And Kenzie, our oldest, she actually decided all by herself at 23 months, just a few weeks before her second birthday, that she wanted a big girl bed. We went to the store, bought the bed, set it up, and she slept in it every single night thereafter. And only upon our son KJ being born just this past year, she didn't even want back in the snuggle action. She then saw KJ starting to bed share and was like, oh, wait a minute, I think I'll pop back in here. And so currently now it's a snuggle fest, but she made that empowered decision and never looked back once she did in that initial go. And so when I hear things about, oh, your kids are going to be so weird and clingy, honestly, she's so independent and just made that choice and then decided when she wanted to opt back in, and she'll opt back out because she's just that powerful.
Yeah, the ability for somebody to sleep by themselves at a young age isn't going to determine whether or not they're independent or needy, right? It's going to be something more than that. Your sleeping situation isn't going to have an impact of dependency. And that's how we see things. And that goes into myth number three. And this can go two ways, right? And this is kind of goes into feeling shame as a parent. Right. And this is looking at making empowered decisions that are best for you. Right. Bed sharing and co-sleeping are what we believe in and what we chose. And that doesn't mean that it's the 100% right way. There's tons of other ways that fit a million other people. But the feeling and shame that you can feel that when you do bed share or co-sleep is that you're soft, you're a pushover. You're letting your kids run your show. However, this is something that we've made from an informed decision and an empowered decision to make our children comfortable. And also as parents, us comfortable. I know that I was very skeptical about bed sharing at the beginning. It kind of did feel like I was giving my kids something or losing something on my side and the other two myths before. But what it ended up happening is I saw how comfortable it made Courtney, how comfortable it made the children, and also eventually how much I felt better at night sleeping, knowing that my kids are safe next to me and not down the hall, and it made me sleep better. So myth number three is really, you're not soft. There's no right or wrong answer to this. Co-sleeping and bed sharing is a great option that you have in order to have a better sleep life for you and your children. But at the end of the day, make empowered decisions. There's no parent shaming or anything else. Just make those empowered decisions from an informed position.
I couldn't agree more with that. And there are so many opinions in parenthood. And we were those opinionated people, right? Saying, oh my gosh, no way would we be those parents that had a sexless marriage and that would have clingy kids and that who would we be to let our kids have a decision in how they were going to sleep or not sleep through the night? We judged that so hard. And you know what? Who says soft is bad, by the way? But letting those opinions have more weight over the weight of your own decisions, I think it's something to chew on. And for us, it took a long time to really feel solid in that. We are not looking back on this decision. It was the best for us and our family. And by the way, I'm just going to add in myth number four here as a bonus one. We get such great sleep. because we're not getting up and down answering to the kids in the middle of the night. We just, you know, tend to their needs right there. Hi, you need cozy. A little snuggle. And oh my gosh, they're the best. Well, they actually, they don't want to snuggle with us as much as we we want them to. But yeah, oh my gosh, it's been so wonderful. And so don't knock it till you try it. But anyways, we would really love to know, what are your initial thoughts about co-sleeping or bed sharing? And maybe what are you considering after this little conversation? We would love to continue it, of course, inside of our free community. And just as always, we're here to cheer you on to make the healthiest and most authentic decisions for you and your family. They don't always have to be mainstream to be meaningful. So that wraps up another episode for us. Thank you for choosing to spend your time here, and we will happily catch you next time. This episode might be over, but the conversation is just getting started.
Join us inside our free community for health and wealth conscious parent entrepreneurs at organicfamilyceo.com/community.
And if you loved what you heard today, consider leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts along with your Instagram handle, so that more like-minded parent entrepreneurs can find the show, and so that you can be entered to win a free coaching session with Kevin or Courtney.
Thank you so much for listening.